I like it.
I love it.
Sad.
Angry.
Share it. Retweet it.
My feed.
It's that time of the week where we get a break from our own social media feeds and get a look into someone else's. Triple J Mornings presenter Lucy Smith joins me now. Welcome.
Hello, Patricia. How are you?
Well, excited to have you on. Pictures from the Met Gala were all over people's feeds this week and everyone seemed to become slightly obsessed and a fashion expert overnight.
Yeah.
Tell me about Kim Kardashian, what she wore and why should we care?
Oh, okay. So this was one of the moments where, so my friends and I, we're pretty much sending each other a running feed of all the different looks that were coming through. And I want to make it clear, I'm not a Kimmy K fan by any means. I don't watch the Kardashians, but this was the type of, she's a figure. So this was the type of thing where we were going, where's Kim? You know, it was sifting through people. It was getting towards the end of the red carpet and people wondering, where is Kim Kardashian? She rocks up head to toe, covered in black. So she was wearing a full bloody black t-shirt. It was almost like a morph suit, if you will, and it had a matching balaclava and train that just went out over the red carpet. And she rocked up with who people thought was Kanye West, also dressed in a black hoodie, black mask. You couldn't see him. He had that Kanye pose. It was then later revealed that that wasn't actually Kanye West. It was the Balenciaga designer, which was the brand that which Kim was wearing. And I think the reason that this was so, it's pretty interesting that a black t-shirt could literally shut down a red carpet and also be the most talked about garment of the night. And the reason being is because it got me thinking about the nature of the silhouette, right? You have people who are some of the biggest in their field. Like if Jeff Bezos, billionaire of the world, rocked up, you wouldn't recognize him by silhouette. You know, if Meryl Streep rocked up to the Oscars, you probably wouldn't recognize her by silhouette. But the fact that Kim Kardashian can rock up to this event, literally just wearing black head to toe, and we know straight away that's her.
Yeah, she's got such a distinctive body, doesn't she?
Exactly.
Why
that's
did
the culture.
She cover her face? Like, why? What was she trying to tell us?
I think it was a way of being like, you know, you're going to comment on me regardless, eh? And you're going to shift your opinion on me as well. So why not let you do it? But you're not going to see my face and you're not going to see any kind of stylistic approach to this. This is just purely by silhouette. And the theme as well for the Met Gala was in America, a lexicon of fashion. And whether we like it or not, Kim Kardashian has become a part of that lexicon, that language of fashion in the US, and particularly body shape as well. You know, like, dare I say, big hips, big boobs, that hourglass figure has really become the ideal. And I'm not saying I support it or that I like it, but that is the ideal. And the fact that she embodies that. And what really got me as well is that she rocks up head to toe covered. There were think pieces that came out, opinions, everything. And then she clapped back a day later and she just said, "What's more American than a t-shirt head to toe?" She's a smart woman. Like, I don't think we give her enough credit, but the fact that there was this entire discourse that followed Kimmy K just wearing all black to the Met Gala, and then she said, "But it's just a t-shirt." It's incredible. So, and also just the fact that she could rock up practically a shadow with Kanye West next to her and immediately spark rumors. Are they back on? Didn't they get a divorce? Are they dating again? But no, you just assumed that it was Kanye. It was actually the Balenciaga designer. And that's on us. That's on the discourse.
That's on us. That's on us. Was she the best outfit of the Met Gala? Because obviously,
No.
What was your favorite?
Ooh, I think my favorite was definitely Sierra wore this like sequined American jersey look, which was really good and was this beautiful turquoise green color. So there were lots of homages to American culture, but not enough American designers, incidentally. But hey, that's the Met Gala.
Now, Barbie could be described as a fashion trend setter. Why are a lot of people in the music industry excited about the new Barbie doll that's being released?
This is so exciting. And for a lot of musicians, this has made their hearts sing. So every year Barbie put out this, it's what they call kind of like the Dream Gap Project. And it's kind of just shining a light on the different careers that Barbie could potentially be, but more than that, encouraging young women in particular and young girls of careers that they might not necessarily think of. And the new Barbie is actually a music producer. So she is, this is so sweet. So it's in you know, conjunction with a Grammy-nominated producer, Esther Dean, and Girls Make Beats. So what they've done is they've kind of taken the fact that women make up less than 3% of music producers, and they're committed to kind of showing that underrepresentation, but also kind of making it a feasible goal for young girls. So just kind of looking at the fact that with this particular career path with production, we know that we are seeing more representation of women in the music industry when it comes to performance. But when it does actually come to fields of production and engineering, we don't have that representation. So it's really great that not only is Barbie going to be coming out with this new doll, but also they're supporting a scholarship program. So hopefully more women do have access to that field.
Do you think releasing a Barbie will actually get more women in music though?
I think it kind of just shows little kids in particular what's possible. You know what I mean? I remember having the Susie O'Neill Barbie as a kid. There's I think it just kind of opens up the possibility of asking the question, what's that? Who's that? Why does she have a mixing desk? Why does she have a laptop? Why does she have a set of headphones? What's she doing? You know, and I think that's important just to even just that base level knowledge as a kid. Oh yeah, that's Barbie and she's making music. And it's been really sweet to see the reaction of this particularly as well. We've got an artist here called Morat. She's out of Brisbane. And she said that, you know, there's so many barriers to being a female producer or engineer, and one of them is actually the lack of visible role models. Her advice is often to young musicians when they say, what should I do to be like you? She says, learn how to produce. Learn how to produce so you have the language and the skills to, when you go to collaborate, to know what you want. And it's really sweet to see Barbie just kind of show that, yeah, we want to be more than that 3%.
Now, staying in the music industry, I hear you're very excited about a local band, Amul and the Sniffers. Let's
yes.
have a listen to them now.
Not looking for trouble.
What's so exciting about this new album, Comfort to Me?
Oh, I love it. Okay, so Amul and the Sniffers, they're a four-piece, originally from Mullumbimby. They're now based in Melbourne, and this is their second record. And what's exciting about it is I think it taps into a real innate, I don't want to say Australiana, but at its core, it's pub rock. It is pub punk. It is raw. It's gnarly. It's the type of stuff that you can see people thrashing around in a mosh pit to. But what's exciting about this new record is they have leveled up. So it's album number two from them, and they're kind of tapping into some real political issues, some social issues as well. I think a lot of people will get around this quote. Amy from the band said, if I have to explain what the record is like, I reckon it's like watching an episode of The Nanny, but the setting is an Australian car show and the nanny cares about social issues and she's read a couple of books. So I just think that is bang on for what this record is. It's really just raw and in your face, but it is also sensitive at points as well. There's some really, really great songs on it.
They are getting a lot of attention overseas, and Amul and the Sniffers, do you think they're going to be the next big thing?
Ooh, I reckon I really want them to be the next big thing, but I think they need to get out on the road again. They need to get touring again. They need to get to Europe and the UK to kind of put this record to the masses. And I just think it's one part of this whole ordeal with, you know, COVID-19 and restrictions. And of course, you know, the stop on global travel, musicians not being able to tour. I just think, God, they need to get these records out now so they can start doing those big summer festivals next year. So fingers crossed, Patricia, because I'm just such a big fan of them.
Yeah, I know. It's very frustrating for them being, well, stuck. Hey, yeah. Lucy, you're a legend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
That's Triple J presenter Lucy Smith, and you can listen to her on Triple J every weekday morning from 9 a.m. This is RN Drive. Up next, it's The Drawing Room.